Hey mama, you're listening to the Supernatural Childbirth Mamas podcast. This is a place where we want to encourage you, edify you by bringing together moms who have experienced a supernatural childbirth. All of us got our journey on this started by reading a book called Supernatural Childbirth by Jackie Mize. It was a book written in the 1980s, but it is still impacting moms today. The fact that we are no longer under the curse of the law because of Jesus Christ, we're under the blessings of the law. So one of those curses was pain in childbirth, and we can be free from that. So us moms have come together. We've believed for that in our own births. We're bringing other moms in so you can hear those stories and hear those testimonies and be encouraged. That's why we're here. If you have a similar story, reach out to us. We would love to have you on the podcast. We also have a Facebook group. Be sure to search in groups for Supernatural Childbirth Mamas. We're there. It's a community of hundreds of women who are there to encourage each other, lift each other up, pray for each other. It's been amazing getting to know all of you. In the future, we're hoping to have more small group settings of either trainings in faith and trainings as for being a mom, or just group settings where we pray together. We're working towards that, and we're looking for leaders. If you have it in your heart to lead other women in this way, let us know. Reach out to us. If you search in the Facebook group, there's actually a form to fill out. So can't wait to dive into today's podcast.
Hey, Supernatural Childbirth Mamas. This is Libby Young, and today I am here with Leslie Matos. And I'm just going to let her introduce herself. So go ahead, Leslie.
Hi, thanks so much for having me, Libby. I am a disciple, wife, mom, and childbirth doula. I say it in that order for a specific reason. But I am just super passionate about helping women break fear and build faith for a positive birth experience with God. I've been blessed to have three supernatural home births of my own. I'm preparing for my fourth in a different setting for the first time. And I really now focus on empowering other moms to do the same through my YouTube channel, my online courses, and my birth coaching services. So that's a little bit about me. Excited to be here.
Yay. We're so glad to have you. And me and Leslie actually have been talking prior to the call. And we felt like the Lord was taking us somewhere, but now he's taking us somewhere else. So I'm going to let Leslie talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. So I am 25 weeks pregnant now with my fourth baby. And lately, and especially today, I've been dealing with some disappointment, some discouragement. Mm-hmm. And I think it's something that we don't talk enough about, especially, as believers, we're just like, we think we just have to like hold it together and be strong and edifying and, you know, can't show that like we ourselves are struggling. But I think that that's wrong. I think that there is actually in showing somebody else that we're struggling, seeing others go through things and then come out on the other end is actually what can help, others get through. And so I have been personally dealing with just, I dealt with a lot of disappointment at first regarding like having to consider having a birth somewhere else than my home. I truly believe that people should birth where they feel safest, but God has really pushed me to say, is safety to you a place or is it me? Mm-hmm. And that has challenged me quite a bit. And so now that I've overcome that hump, it's like now I really feel like the discouragement, the disappointment that I've been dealing with now has been in my own inabilities, in my own shortcomings as a wife, as a mother, as a doula, like feeling like I'm just not enough. And it's kind of come to the realization, you know, I'm not. But it's in light of, you know, we're not enough. Thank God for Jesus. Right. But so often, like, you know, shame and guilt would want to overcome us and would want to make it feel like, no, it's you. And then we are like Peter, we take our eyes off of Jesus and we start feeling like we're sinking, you know, when if we keep our eyes on him, the way, the truth and the life, things could be different, you know? And so during my pregnancy that has looked like discouragement about my weight gain, discouragement about my, this is the first time I've ever been with a provider that like keeps track of the things that like, you know, make you like potentially could, something could go wrong. So I've got this list on this app that tells me like, literally says problems. And under problems, it says like, overweight, history of a retained placenta, carries the sickle cell trait. And I'm like, this is horrible. This is like, who is this going to encourage, right?
Yeah.
And meanwhile, I had to call for my results on like, to tell me, hey, no, you're all good. You don't have gestational diabetes. You don't have your all your urine, all your blood work, all of it is all normal. You know, your iron is higher than it's ever been in any other pregnancy. Like, I'm just like, why aren't those things highlighted? You know?
That's true.
So just discouragement around my own inabilities, like just my own shortcomings and those things, you know, they want to creep in and say, you know, the enemy wants to use that to be like, oh, well, this birth isn't going to be like your last ones. It's going to be, you know, it's going to be a mess and, you know, you could be traumatized and you could end up in an emergency situation at the hospital and like all of this stuff. And, you know, I'm fighting that stuff. I'm fighting.
Yeah.
So, and that's just a piece of it when it comes to pregnancy. Share, can you share, like, you were sharing so much about what you've been going through too.
Yeah, I feel like the same. And it's funny because we were going to get on here to talk about, we had a whole thing about fear that we were going to talk about, which I'm sure we'll get to that point too. But it's funny how even before we got on the call, both of us felt discouraged that we just didn't feel even like good enough to do this call, which is just so funny to me because, of course, that's the enemy. But yeah, I think this is so good to talk about because like you said, we can hide it and just, you know, it's almost like when we hide it, it gets worse because it's such a mental battle and we just battle it on our own within our own mind. And, I think that when we bring it out into the light, like we're able to get free of it, that when we hide it and just act like everything's okay, yeah, it can just get worse. And so I feel like this is so important to talk about. And so one thing that I've felt discouraged in is just life in general. Like you said, being a mom, I think that's easily like you can look at other people and be like, wow, like I'm not that great. You know, it's so easy to compare, but you only see, you know, a short bit of somebody's life. But one way I've been discouraged, so my husband, me and my husband started trying for our fourth baby recently, and I've never had an issue, getting pregnant. And I'm so thankful because I know that that's not everybody's story. And, I can't imagine, you know, just the hardship of going through that, trying to conceive journey for more than a couple months. So I'm really thankful that's not been my story, but I have had three miscarriages out of, I've had six pregnancies and three of them have ended in miscarriage. So I have three healthy babies. But the enemy always will come at me with, you know, like, well, what if you don't get pregnant again? Or what if, you know, you end up having another miscarriage? Or, you know, it's just so much discouragement when I feel like the Lord, you know, this should be a time of joy to try for another child. But instead, it's left me feeling like I need to control things and I need to, you know, if anything, it's just taken my joy. It's made me live in this state of fear, which is not me. So, yeah, that's where I felt discouraged for sure. And I'm sure a lot of women have experienced the same.
Yeah, a lot of people can relate. And it's like, even if you're not, let's say you're not pregnant, let's say you're not in the conception stage, there is in motherhood in and of itself, right? Like there is just every stage, right?
Yeah.
It's a new stage that, you know, I'm potty training my third now. And I told you today, I was like, I am just feeling so discouraged, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I am like, it can be as something as small as that. It can be like just feeling like, there are days where I just feel like, man, I didn't get the things done that I should get done just simply like for my home, for my family, like basic, you know, chores and things that I'm just like, why can't I seem to do this? Right.
Mm-hmm.
And It's in those, but I loved what you said because it immediately brought to my mind the scripture, John 3, 20 and 21. It says, "For everyone that does evil hates the light and doesn't come to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that does truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest and that they are wrought in God." And I've meditated on this for a while. So that word wrought in God, it literally means that God is able to mold you. God is able to, mm-hmm. It reminds me of you have this image of like an iron, one of those, like a blacksmith who works with iron and is like molding and working with sharpening tools and creating that kind of stuff. But then even so much the image of a potter, right?
Yeah.
And us being the vessel. And when we bring things, when we bring them to him, he's able to work them out. He's able to, you know, the things in us that, you know, for me, it's, you know, when I procrastinate, when I know that there are things like I should be going to bed earlier so I can mm-hmm. wake up earlier so I could be more productive and I could be proactive rather than reactive. But I see God, because I bring it to him, he's mm-hmm. working it out. Mm-hmm. And there's so many things like that, that because you bring it to him, because you know that you can come to him with all those concerns and fears that want to consume you, that he will take care of them. That yes. he literally says, like, worry, do not be anxious for anything, but pray mm-hmm. about everything. Mm-hmm. You know, all of those things should be put into prayer, and then start praying the word, you know, praying the word into yes. those situations so that we can fight the discouragement. Mm-hmm. Right? Because, you know, you were saying, I know it's not me. I know this, like this, I know the truth. Right? Yeah. And mm-hmm. so it's figuring out how to fight that discouragement, you know? And in the Bible, it's just like two stories specifically come to mind for me, two people. And the first one, is Mary. Mary is here being told, like, hey, Immaculate Conception, you're about to carry the Christ. And she doesn't even know all that that entails, right? And her fiance is like, you're pregnant. I'm going to quietly leave you, but still leave you, you know? And she, like, the angel of the Lord that visited her, he knew that she was going to need encouragement. And so he said, Elizabeth, your cousin, who's already further along in receiving her miracle. Yeah, she also didn't think she'd be able, she didn't think she could conceive, and she's in her third trimester. If you do the math, Elizabeth was in her third trimester and Mary was in her first. And I love this picture mm-hmm. of this younger woman coming to this older woman who's not only further along in her journey to help encourage and speak into the seed that God put inside of her. Speak to mm-hmm. her about the seed, the promise that God has already given her and what will come of that. And she says, blessed is she that believed, because there will be a fulfillment of the things that God promised, that God promised and has said unto her. That's Luke 1:45. And so that kind of friendship, that kind of sisterhood that she had somebody who was further along yes. to be able to encourage her. I think that this is important, because the things that you're sharing, when you have your fourth, your story is a testimony to mm-hmm. The mom who may be on her first or second, yeah. may have experienced her first or second miscarriage, mm-hmm. you know, and needs that word of encouragement, needs to know that somebody in the midst of it was willing to share mm-hmm. what she was going through and how she made it through. Mm-hmm. So that somebody else can glean from that, and somebody else can, it's easier for the next person coming through, you mm-hmm. know, it's mm-hmm. something that they know I can endure. I can make it. I'm not alone, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's that, and that's what we're supposed to do as sisters in Christ. That is like, as a doula, like, that's why I do what I do, because mm-hmm. I want to be able to come along women and encourage them in the situation that they're in, encourage them to believe for what God has told them and not be discouraged, because there's so many voices. The voice of the enemy doesn't just come directly at your mind. It comes through people mm-hmm. you know. It comes through people that you love, you know, people who, you know, people who just may not know, like, you know, your mother may not, you know, may not be, you know, may not know about supernatural birth, right? Mm-hmm. And so she may think it's crazy that you're believing God for a pain-free mm-hmm. birth experience, right? And, you know, my own experience, my first time having a baby, I my mother was like, you're doing a what? A home birth? Like, why? And I, you know, and she's a doctor. So she's a doctor in her home, in her homeland. And so she's just like, what? Like, why wouldn't you go to a hospital? Right. And it wasn't that she was trying to discourage me. She just didn't know any better. You know, mm-hmm,
right.
She didn't know God for the things that I was knowing and believing him for, because it's that intimacy with him that brought me to the understanding that I have about birth. You know? And so I know that you're doing this too as a doula. You're helping, mm-hmm. you know, us as doulas, we're helping bring women into saying, hey, those things that you think, you know, you may think are impossible, but God has kind of been putting on your heart, those are not impossible. And like,
yeah,
let me encourage you in that, because I've lived it, I've experienced it. And, you know, I want to help you get there. I want to help mm-hmm. you see all of God's glory in your birth experience and like truly have a birth experience where you're not missing his presence. He's there regardless, yeah. right? But you're yeah. not missing it, you know? And so Elizabeth and Mary are an awesome example of that. I would also say, like, maybe even my other example is that you don't know what you're going through, how other people on the outside are seeing it.
Yeah.
When the Israelites went, in as spies, the 10 spies came out and gave a bad report about the land because they saw giants. But we find out in Joshua 2, in the second chapter of Joshua, that the people of Canaan were scared the moment they heard about what God had done at the Red Sea.
Hmm.
It says that they were full of fear and became dismayed. It says that their hearts melted. And I was like, meanwhile, here are the people walking with God, that God is literally leading, has led out of Egypt, brought 10 plagues upon the Pharaoh, destroyed a whole nation's army. And I mean, made water come out of rocks, had food fall from the sky, like, you know, provided like the meat that they wanted at any point, every single thing that they wanted, he gave, right? Mm-hmm. And they come out and they come out of that after seeing what he wants to, they see the promise and they see that it's good. And then they think, I can't possibly have that. Mm-hmm. Because they look at themselves mm-hmm. and they forget God. They forget who God is. They saw themselves. And I think this is what happens sometimes with us when discouragement and dismay wants to come in and get to us, is that the enemy is like, oh, all I have to do is get her to take her eyes off of Jesus. Mm-hmm. If she could just see herself and look in the mirror and see how yes. flawed she is and see how undeserving she is of the mercy and grace that he's bestowed upon her, I mean, this will be a piece of cake. But that's why it's so important for us to remember Jesus, for us not to keep our eyes on us, right? You were sharing, would you share a little bit about, you were sharing about sometimes what it's like when you're going through something physical, right?
I mean, especially I know a lot of women, and me personally, even during pregnancy, if I would experience a symptom, you know, how easy it is to walk in fear rather than in faith. And just, I don't know where I'm going with this. to what I was talking about before.
Yes, you were talking about when you're dealing with like a physical, like you haven't gotten your physical healing yet. Like, let's say a symptom doesn't go away. Let's say, you know, and you're still dealing with the symptom. You can go to one of two extremes.
Right. Yeah. Oh, okay. Yes. I'll go back to that. So I'll use my example that I talked to you about before. So I have struggled for years with just terrible PMS symptoms. And some months I would rebuke it and it would actually leave, which was awesome. But some months I would be like rebuking it and spend all this energy doing that. And I would still be experiencing it and just kind of waste all my energy. And then there were other months where I would just kind of give into the symptoms and just be like, well, this just stinks, you know, and just kind of be angry with God. Like, why are you allowing me to be walking through this? This is so frustrating. But I feel like what the Lord's been teaching me is rather than doing either of those things, just to recognize that, you know, maybe I am experiencing a symptom and it's uncomfortable and I don't like it. But that's not the truth, and not letting what's happening in the natural dictate the truth of how I'm feeling in my thoughts, because I think sometimes we're so easily swayed in our faith and in our thinking when we experience something rather than standing on the word of God. And I know this is easier said than done, but I think it comes with like renewing our mind, like, okay, I might be experiencing this, but that's not the truth. This is not who I am. And I think we talked about this earlier too. It's just like knowing the goodness of God. Like we have to keep going back to that. Cause like you said, it's not about us. It's not about doing, or, you know, it's really about who are we, what's our identity in him? How much does he love us and care about us? Right.
Yeah. And even what I loved about what you shared was that it's immediately what came to mind as you were sharing was actually Paul. And Paul talks a lot about how, you know, in the midst of persecution, in the midst of the things that he was going through, in the midst of the thorn in his side, whatever that was that didn't go away, God told him, my grace is sufficient for you. And really meditating on what that means, right? Because we all go through things. Life is not just easy as a believer, right? We all go through things. But in the midst of that, knowing that we serve the God who is the only one who can work all things out for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Mm-hmm. And he's the only one that can work it all out for our good and ultimately for his glory. Right? Yeah. Because he does it for his namesake. He does it because of Jesus. And I think that second piece, the reason why those two pieces are important is because if you're like, oh, he's working it out for my good, then you think it depends on what you do and how good you are and how much. No, it's for his glory because of Jesus, because of what Jesus already did, you know, because of the perfect life he led and what he's already done for us. And so we have to, I come back often to this idea, this picture. It's like, my children don't have to do anything for my love, you know?
Yeah.
They're my children, right? And so this idea keeps running in my head. It's like, it's not who you are, it's whose you are. Mm-hmm. And that, therein lies the testimony. Therein lies the power. Is what, like, that's where our faith needs to lie in, because that's what moves mountains.
Yeah.
He does it. It's whose we are that matters. And so Rahab was with the Israelites. Rahab in Joshua 2 is the one telling them, like, hey, she's not the spies. She's like, yeah, we've been scared of you since 40 years ago. And we've been scared you're going to come at any moment. Like, what are they doing? They're just out there. You know, they had no idea what was going on. But look at Rahab in the midst of that. This prostitute who lived on the wall, like she lived in the most outskirts that you could from this city, right? Mm-hmm. She lived on the wall. And she's like, that God, that's not the God I serve. That God, that's the God of heaven and earth. And she's like, I need to get, and she's like, I'm on the wrong side of things. And think about in Joshua 1, three times, Joshua is told, be strong and of good courage. Mm-hmm. And he is told, do not fear and do not be dismayed. Things that the Israelites, you know, those Israelites were, and it cost them 40 years and not entering into the promised land. And this next generation is about to enter. And again, Joshua's told, do not fear, do not be dismayed. Here are the spies being told, hey, we've been afraid and we've been dismayed because of your God, right? Mm-hmm. And what does God had said to them? Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear. Do not be dismayed, because I, the Lord your God, am the one who goes with you wherever you go. Wherever you go. And so she's like, Rahab's like, I need to get in on this. And out of faith, simply faith in the testimony of what he did for somebody else. And she didn't even see it. She just heard about it. But faith about what happened at the Red Sea led her to be like, I'm getting on board with that. I will lie to my own king. I will betray my own city. I will hide these people. I will physically use my physical strength to help them on a rope, climb out a window to escape. Then I will give them the strategy to go to the mountain to make sure they don't get caught. And I will make sure, I will show them mercy because I need their God to show me mercy.
Mm-hmm.
And in doing that, she didn't just save herself. She saved her whole family. And imagine, you know, who knows what her dad thought of her, being a prostitute, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But here she was, the redemption she got through God, that it saved her whole family. Excavators, archaeologists, archaeological finds have shown that there's a north side of the Jericho wall that did not fall.
Wow.
Why? Because that's where Rahab had put the red thread, the red cord at her window,
mm-hmm.
signifying just like the blood of the Passover lamb signified for the Israelites in Egypt, that death would not touch her home, that she would be redeemed, just like we've been redeemed.
Yeah.
And so we've got to keep talking about this. We've got to keep mm-hmm. encouraging one another, because this is where the breakthrough is. This is where the battle's in the mind. We need, and doing this work now, doing this work before we've conceived, doing this work before we've delivered, doing this work before the next child, or doing mm-hmm. this work in advance is good for us. It's what mm-hmm. God wants for us. And if he's speaking to you through this, then we're going to talk next about how to apply this, but we've got to do this. We've just got to take it and not sit quiet for so long.
Right.
We just sit quiet. You know, we almost didn't have this conversation today.
Yeah.
Right. And so with that, I hope you guys are encouraged by that. Like we can encourage ourselves in the Lord, but we can also encourage others even when we're not feeling it ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think as doulas, we have these conversations with our clients, but how often do we personally have these conversations, where we're exposing fear and exposing discouragement, because it's not us. And I think that's a really good point, is when you're feeling discouragement, it does not belong to you. When you're feeling fear, you have to recognize that those things don't belong to you. It's not your inner voice telling you these things. It's the enemy. And when you recognize it in that, it just kind of I don't know. It just makes it so that it's easier to understand that, okay, that's not who I am. And just kind of, I think one thing you mentioned too was getting alongside someone who might be further ahead of you, who's maybe a couple steps ahead of you spiritually that can encourage you. Not that anybody's ahead of you spiritually. We're all the same, but someone that maybe has a little bit more wisdom, or who's walked through things, maybe more than you have. I think that, that's one applicable way that is amazing that I know I run to the people, that I know that I can trust, that are going to pray with me, that are going to lift me up, that are going to encourage me. I think when we hide things and we don't talk about them, that's when they really start to fester and get worse. And I think that's so important.
I concur. I think that that's how we counteract, if we break this down into what is said in what God says, do not fear nor be dismayed, be strong and of good courage. Like practically speaking, you're talking mm-hmm. about how not to be dismayed, right? And it's that building up that team, that support team around mm-hmm. yourselves. And practically speaking, you're saying, yes, have the women that you can go to that are further ahead. Build up around yourself. We're in the birth world. So we know, this is where we start talking about, mm-hmm. I talk to my clients about picking your prenatal care provider. You don't just have to go with whoever, right? You have choice. Interview some people, figure mm-hmm. out what kind of care you want, and get a, get a prenatal care provider that you can work with, that you feel comfortable with, and that you, or build up, or get some other people on your support team who will help you build up the advocacy skills that you'll need mm-hmm. for birth, to ask for the things that you want, right? Because natural physiological birth is not something that is just a given at, in the most common place that people give birth, which is hospitals, right? Mm-hmm. So if it's something that you want, then build the team around you that's going to support you for it. So
yes.
Who's your provider? Do you have a doula? Are you and your partner trained? Like, have you and your partner gotten some sort of education on, mm-hmm. On how to do this, right? Like, knowledge will help you not be so discouraged by like the things that you feel like you don't know when everybody, you know, especially if you're a first time mom, you know, and somebody's telling you like, oh, you have no idea what birth is like. Yeah. You say you won't get that epidural, but that's till you're in the situation. Well, get yourself around some people who have gone through birth and have experienced it the way you want to experience it. Mm-hmm. Join the Facebook group, yes. The Supernatural Childbirth Mamas Facebook group. Start following the right people on Instagram so you're hearing these voices and these testimonies. Like, encourage yourself. Like, you have to, there is a piece of this. It's like encouraging yourself in the Lord. Like, go into the Word and let the Holy Spirit minister to you and encourage yourself in what His Word says, in what the truth is, like you said, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that support team, you know, if it's not, you know, practically like preparing for the physical birth, also get yourself a prayer team. Like, I have a prayer team for my births. I text them throughout my pregnancy. I text them when I go into labor. I tell them like, and they pray the whole mm-hmm. time, right? And they know what I'm believing for. I tell them specifically what I'm believing for, and they come into agreement with me, and I know that they pray. It's not a big group. It doesn't need to be a big group, mm-hmm. right? But it's people that I trust and that I know are like, you know, are like Elizabeth was to Mary, right?
Yeah.
And will believe with me, are like Caleb was to Joshua, you know, like together, the two of them, you know, how much courage it must have taken for Caleb to stand up and say something. I mean, Joshua was already spending a lot of time with God, already following Moses around, already in the tabernacle all the time. So like, it was a given that he was going to give a positive report, right? But mm-hmm. it specifically mentions how Caleb stood out to God, because he's the one that spoke up and said, wait, God said he'd give us this land. Let's just go up there and take it, right? And like, to stand up against those 10 other men who were, you know, immediately they wanted to stone them. Immediately the people turned around and wanted to stone Caleb. Mm-hmm. I'm like, is this a joke? Right? And so get yourself away from those 10 spies and find yourself your Joshua mm-hmm. or your Caleb, right? And that's the encouragement that you need, because that is how you're going to get to the promised land. That is how you're going to get to see the things that God has promised you. Otherwise, you're going to let yourself be consumed by discouragement mm-hmm. and by fear,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, fear will come in. If it's not the discouragement, it may start as discouragement, but discouragement unattended will turn into fear.
Mm-hmm.
And fear is a spirit. And you open up a door to that spirit, and you have to do the work to get it out.
Yep.
Because the Lord has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Mm-hmm. And it takes, and you have to get, I call it deliverance before delivering, because mm-hmm. you need to get delivered from fear if you want to deliver this baby in faith.
Yeah.
And so, so there's work to be done there too, but it doesn't have to be like a big old show the way people think that, like, you know, the way some deliverances can be very visual, right? But you don't have to be scared of that. It can also be like the Word. It can just be mm-hmm. you. It could be you alone in a room and the Lord just setting you free, right? And just speaking to your heart and, you know, you telling fear that it has to go, that it has no space, that you have no space in your life for it anymore, right? And so mm-hmm. I think that's a huge piece. I know that's what we were going to essentially spend the whole time talking about, but like,
yeah.
That's important. And if you need more support on that, please do not hesitate to reach out to us. Like,
mm-hmm.
we would be happy to share more resources, talk with you guys about that. But like, that is applicably how you can work on those two things. It's like, don't let your dismay, your discouragement turn into fear.
Yes.
Turn into like taking it to that next level. Like, cut it off while it's still early, because like you were saying, you know, sometimes it's like you're going through something and like you'll have like a dream or something. And I've had this happen. I know you were sharing, but I've had this happen to me before where I have like a dream and then like I'll tell my husband in the morning, he'll just like get up and like pray against it and just be like, that's not like right. And he'll just like lay hands mm-hmm. on me right then and there and just like pray and be like, nope, we pray against that in the name of Jesus. And he'll just immediately take authority over it mm-hmm. with his words and with the, not just his words, but the word of God, you know? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that completely changes it, where like I was discouraged by the fact that I'd even had that dream, you know? And he was immediately turned around and was like, ah, no, we don't give room for these yeah. attacks to have any type of, you know, have any type of say in the rest of our day, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, yeah, it reminds me of 2 Corinthians 10, 3-7. I'm just going to paraphrase. It says, we walk in the flesh, but we do not war after the flesh. Mm-hmm. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Mm-hmm. And it's like when sometimes there's things that will come up that identify, reveal that we have these strongholds in our lives that we need to take down. Mm-hmm. Right. And so sometimes you think it's like, oh no, it's my provider telling me, you know, I have to pre-schedule my induction. Right. Mm-hmm. But you're not, the war is not after the flesh. It's not your provider. It's the spirit behind that mm-hmm. that wants to instill fear in you that would make you say, no, I have to sign up for that. Right.
Yep. That's right. So true.
And so it goes on to say, you know, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, because that's what fear is. Fear mm-hmm. is you making an idol of God, saying it's not as big, that thing is bigger than our God. Right. Mm-hmm. But the Bible says we're supposed to bring those into captivity, bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of God, mm-hmm. to the obedience of Christ. And why Christ? Because he was perfect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so good. I know that as far as like reaching out to people, and, you know, I know that there's some moms that might feel very alone in believing for what they're believing for. And I know one of the things that the enemy, the easiest way that he gets us into a spirit of fear is isolating us first mm-hmm. and making us feel very alone. And I want to speak specifically to the moms that are believing for a supernatural birth that feel like they don't have anyone to go to. You might not feel like you have someone above you that can encourage you or speak into you, but I just feel like that's why God gave us this group of women. That's why he, you know, this group of supernatural childbirth mamas has grown like exponentially in the past year. And I feel like if that's your only place of encouragement, use it. You know, that's such a tool. And I feel like that's why God's brought all of us women together, is to encourage each other. Because we'd be lying if we didn't say that we got discouraged sometimes. And I think that's, if that's the only place that you can go to for encouragement. I know a mom recently mentioned that, you know, she was believing for this on her own without her husband believing with her. And I've been there, and I know that can feel very isolating and very alone. And so, you know, God's going to bring people into your life that will come alongside of you and believe with you, even if it's not your spouse, even if it's, you know, someone that you might not even know in person, you know, and God's going to bring that person to come alongside of you and encourage you.
Amen. Amen. He will. Yeah, I think. And even like fear would try to keep him that creeping that way, but like what you're experiencing, you know, that because maybe your husband isn't believing for the same things, that will somehow translate into the birth. But like right now, I just pray for that mom mm-hmm. in the mighty name of Jesus. We pray against every single yes. attack of the enemy on that marriage, on that union, in uh-huh. the mighty name of Jesus. We praise you and we thank you, Father, that what God has brought together, let no man bring apart. Mm-hmm. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for breakthrough in that relationship in Jesus' mighty name. And I just want to encourage that mom to like, literally, like I think too often we take things like, I don't know if it's too often. Maybe I shouldn't even say that. I don't want to generalize, but sometimes we can take things too lightly and feel like hopeless. Like we mm-hmm. have, there's nothing we can do. Well, like yep. pray into it, be anxious for nothing, but pray for everything. Pray into the things that you the things that you want, the things that you want to see in your husband, the things that you want to see in your marriage, the things that you want to see in your life, and all aspects, pray into them. Give those petitions to God, but give them to him in faith that he can do it.
Yeah.
Faith that you will see it. And you'll start and ask God to help you to start to see your husband the way that he sees him, to help you work with God to see the changes that you want to see in your home.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And like, you can do this for your children, right? You can do this when you're seeing your children going through things, and mm-hmm. just pray into those things specifically. I mean, when in the word, when he says, be strong and of good courage, that good courage part, when you look at the Hebrew of that word, it's actually talking about the mental preparation. It's talking about the mental strength. Having courage is in your mind, right? And so it's like, that's where we need to go. We need to know that we're not only fighting the things that come at our mind, but also we can do that for our family. Mm-hmm. Also, if we see things, we can identify them, we can call them out, we can pray into them, we can bring them before God. And in faith, start praying for our family, start being the good, like God said, it is very good. He made man and woman and he said it was very good. Right. And so we coming together as a union, as husband and wives in our homes, but also us as mothers covering our home in prayer, covering our children, right. Mm-hmm. And walking in the authority that we have, not because of us, but because of Jesus, right. Not who we are, but whose we are. We are daughters of the Most High God. And if God is for us, who can stand against us? It doesn't mean they won't get up. It doesn't mean they won't rise. It doesn't mean weapons won't form. It just means they can't prosper. So mm-hmm. it's like this chant rose up. This is what got me through my third labor. This was the dream I had. I had this dream, this vision that I got up. There were all these things attacking me. And this one thing wanted to literally kill me. It was trying to shoot my child. And the bullets would not and could not come and could not touch. It was like they bounce off. They came for my stomach and something repelled them back. And it flew back. And it was literally like demons in the stream. And I remember that at first, the way that it started was I was in crouching position, like fetal position. And then inside my spirit rose up this chant. And it was like, I am a daughter of the Most High God. You can't touch me. And it is this, I just continued to say it louder and louder till finally I was standing and all of them were gone. And I wow. share that to encourage you that like we can do that in the spirit with our prayers. We can do that in the spirit with our praise. We can do that in the spirit simply by talking to our Father. Like, we can do that. We can spiritually, we can't even imagine like the things that God is working for us, right? All the chariot of fire is full of angels that Elisha could see, but his servant couldn't, right? We need those eyes of faith.
Mm-hmm.
And even if we can't see them, we don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. And so we need to push through and mm-hmm. we need to get up. And listen, if you need somebody to be the voice that comes and tells you to get up and remember that you are a daughter of the Most High God, like, please come talk to us. Like we mm-hmm. have, and there's so many resources online to help encourage you. If you don't have a voice speaking into your life, get yourself on Instagram and follow all of these accounts who will speak into your life, who mm-hmm. will encourage you, who will post throughout the day to encourage you, who will gladly reply to any of your direct messages, who all want to help support you to have the birth that you desire, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we have to do the internal work. And like, no one is telling you have to do that by yourself and you have to figure it out by yourself, because we all get discouraged sometimes, right?
Mm-hmm.
We all get discouraged sometimes. And so just know that you have other people here to help support you, to help encourage you, to edify you so that you can be strong. You can be of good courage. You do not have to fear. You do not have to be dismayed, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you can just hold on in belief for what God has told you, and you're going to see it come to pass.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like we can go over to some of the things that like we can put into use to help us when we are discouraged. I know we talked about fellowship being one of them, fellowship with other believers, prayer. And that goes back to the verse that you shared, Philippians 4:6-7, that says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And I love that verse because we petition things, you know, we petition the promises that God's promised us, right? We have to go to God. And I love how he says with thanksgiving. So when I pray too, even if I don't necessarily like feel it or believe it, I still am like, thank you, God, for the baby that you're going to bless us with, because this is your promise, right? Thank you, God, that, and this is even if you don't feel it, like we still press on, even if you feel discouraged, we thank God for the things that we have and that he's going to give us, the promises that he's already given us, because he who promised is faithful. So I think we petition those things, but we pray powerfully and we just declare and we start to thank God for the promises that he has already given us. So even women that are believing to conceive who haven't conceived yet, you start thanking God for his promise. And another one too, just like renewing our mind. I think it's, I know the times that I become most discouraged is usually when I don't have enough time to get in the word, or I choose something over getting in the word, because we have to have that daily bread, that daily renewing of our mind to be in the word and let the word wash over us. And I feel like that's really what helps us be on guard to take every thought captive and to make it obedient to the word of God. Leslie, what are some other ways you can think of that are really practical about just getting out of discouragement? If we've already kind of entered into it, how do we get out?
Yeah. So so we're already in there. We've got our support team. We've got the fellowship. We're holding on to, we're spending this intimate time with God. I think we also there's practical things we could do in terms of, you know, what he encourages us to do. God says, be strong, right? That mm-hmm. is, that's physical. That's physical. And sometimes it is just like, if all you can get is 5 minutes outside, it's just you walking to the mailbox, just even that fresh air, just any amount of time you can spend, like I've just found this for me, looking at nature, or any amount of time you can spend taking care of taking care of our temple, taking care of your body will help when discouragement, because discouragement sets in and all of a sudden you're just like, I don't want to eat, or I want to eat the wrong things. Like all these other things can come in and all of a sudden it's like you're not caring quite as much for yourself the way that you should be, right? And so practically speaking, like, let's not forget about your physical strength. Let's not forget about, you know, making sure you're getting, God's ministering to me right now, making sure you're getting enough sleep. Make sure you're getting sleep, right? Make sure you're getting rest, quality rest. The Bible says in Psalm 127, God gives his beloved sleep. He gives his beloved sleep, right? And so, you know, all that, you know, to work, to all those who try to build the house that Lord didn't call them to build, it's all in vain, right? That's the way Psalm 127 talks about it. It's like everything you do, that you try to do in your own strength is in vain. So make sure you're taking care of yourself physically. Like make sure you're getting rest. Make sure you are eating well. Make sure you are moving, like even simply moving around, just like, even if you're not feeling like you can get up, dance, worship, like spend some time, like spinning for the Lord. I don't know, whatever it is for you. Like for me and my children, we just jump like this. We just jump. That's what we need, right? Like when I'm not feeling it and it's one of those days and mom's having a rough time, we do a dance party, because that is like moving my body just changes my mood, changes my, and helps me to remember, like, wow, like how blessed I am, how blessed I am. Like, I am physically able to get up and move around. I have three children who are all smiling and happy and joyful, even though I feel like I failed so much as a mother today, right?
Yeah.
And they still have smiles on their faces and they still say they love me and want me to be the last person to like tuck them in. You know, it's like, and there is God being like, do you see? Do you see that it's like, I'm doing it. I'm here.
Yeah.
I've got you. You're not in this alone, right? But like physically making sure you're taking care of yourself, because that's the next split. Like that'll be just like something else. Got, you know, the enemy will enter through the mind, right? This is how fear works too.
Mm-hmm.
Fear, discouragement, it all enters through the mind, but it then manifests physically in some type of way.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be sickness. It could be a pain here, a symptom there. It could be the way we start, like what we start eating, you know, all this stuff, but it will translate in the physical, if not attended to, right? And so if we've got it, making sure we're like, okay, wait, we're counteracting this. I'm gonna still take care of myself. I'm still gonna make sure I eat what, you know, try to eat well, maybe not have those five cookies, maybe just have one, like, you know, and being like, being aware that you don't have to give into the flesh, right?
Yes.
We walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, okay? So we are, while it is in the mind, right? We still need to just make sure that the sin that would try to come in, because what'll try to come in, you don't feel well, all of a sudden you're not speaking the way you speak. All of a sudden you're lashing out at your spouse, or you're speaking, you're not being quite so gentle when you speak to your children, or like all this stuff will just be manifestations, right? So I would say like taking care of, honestly, mostly your mouth. Wow, this is just coming to me now. What you put in and what comes out.
Yep. Yeah, that's so good. That's something God convicted me of the other day, because my middle son is a little bit harder than my other ones. He's just a little bit more emotional. But I noticed that, you know, the Lord convicted me of like, what am I speaking out about him? You know, but what's, you know, that might be true in the natural, but the things that I was telling his dad, you know, oh, today was so hard because this, this, and this, and it just made me realize like that might've been a hard moment, you know, but that's not who he is. That 1 minute out of, you know, the whole hour, like and it's so much our flesh that wants to harp on the negative. Rather than like what God does, he doesn't look at all the terrible things we've done or all the, you know, how we've acted, or he looks at us and picks out the good things about us, you know? So I feel like, you know, that can be translated into motherhood and pregnancy and anything. Like, we do have to watch our mouths, because power of life and death is in the power of the tongue. And so that is so important to watch our tongue and watch our mouth, for sure.
Yeah, I don't know. That just came to me and I was like, oh, that's essentially what I'm saying. It's just, it's like we have to watch that, because then we're starting to speak what's been being spoken into our minds, you know, and then we start to put it out through what we say, through what we do, through how we act, right? And so watching for that and making sure, I have found the easiest way to counteract that is with the things you were saying, with prayer, with praise being like, when you're dismayed, probably worship music is the best thing you could be doing, is listening to some worship music and blasting it until you feel it, right?
Yeah.
Until you feel it. Because it does, in the spiritual, it is doing something. It is moving something, right? There is power in our praise. And so I say that especially, like, that's why I say for birth, if you're praying for your birth, work on your playlist. Like, what are you going to be listening to during birth? Because whether you've been through this before or it's your first time, pick the most encouraging worship songs that you can put on there. Think of the ones that like literally just make you just forget about you and just keep your eyes on God. Like the most encouraging, the ones that remind you of his faithfulness in your past, like all of that should be on your playlist. That's what you should be listening to, because otherwise the other voices that are going to try to come at you during that time when you're in labor, or when you're having, you know, a really rough time postpartum, or, you know, or when you're feeling those symptoms in pregnancy, they will try to come in. So mm-hmm. building for yourself, like a worship playlist that you play during your pregnancy, and then you play during your birth, and then you play during your postpartum. Like, it's just going to be like, you know, like kind of like an anthem to your season, anthem to your life at that time. And it will mm-hmm. just help you to stay strong and combat the discouragement that really does try to set in, right? Because unattended, that can turn into postpartum depression, mm-hmm. you know, postpartum mm-hmm. anxiety. And we don't, you know, God doesn't want that for you. And we definitely don't want that for you. And it's rough. It's like the baby blues. Everybody tells you, oh, you're just supposed to expect the baby blues, right? It's all hormonal, and then turns to one thing to another. But as I've seen so many people share, you know, gratitude is actually does something hormonally that helps you fight off baby blues, fight off negative emotions that want to mm-hmm. come in the postpartum stage. So praise is one of the best things you can be doing, right?
Yeah.
So I would say start working on that now.
Yeah. And that's probably one of the hardest things to like force yourself to do when you don't feel like it, but it really does. There's such a shift in the spirit when you start to praise. Even if it's not worship music, even if it's just out of your mouth, like thanking God and praising God for the things that he's done and he's going to do. I know for me that always helps, but sometimes it's the hardest thing to like make myself do.
Yeah. No, I think that's how it is with all of these things. They may seem hard, but like, let's all just start small. Maybe you can't build up a whole playlist, but just one song, right?
Yeah.
Maybe it's like you're like, I can't even think of a song. Just play K-Love's, you know, just play K-Love Radio, right? And let them play some songs for you, right? Yeah. And watch, you know, God will minister you even through that, even through songs that you haven't picked, right? And so, or if you're like, hey, listen, I'm not really the music type, like then encourage yourself with testimonies, right?
Yeah.
The Bible says that in Revelation, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, right? Mm-hmm. And so testimony is very powerful. So listening to other people who have had difficult situations and seen it on and been out on the other side, like that's like there is power in that. There's encouragement in that. That changes things, right? Faith mm-hmm. comes by hearing, but so does fear. Right. Yeah. And so you have to watch what you hear, because that will affect that'll affect what comes out, what you end up speaking, what ends up coming out of you, right? What you're putting in. And so focus on what you're putting in all aspects. Like physically, what are you putting in? What are you putting in through your ears? What are you watching? Like, what are you putting in through your eyes? Like, what are you letting into your spirit? Right. Mm-hmm. That's what you need to focus on. And practically speaking, there's so much you can do. Like,
yeah,
you know, I think two
of the resources that helped me so much, like just in life in general, is one of them is Full Joy Mom on YouTube. She has great videos on just if you need especially encouragement as a mother, and just in your spiritual walk, she is amazing. She's got great videos that I just will put on and listen to, like while I'm cleaning or, you know, just doing stuff around the house. And then there's another YouTube channel called My Flourishing Fam. And it's actually, I think a woman started it, and she had a supernatural childbirth. So she's got an awesome testimony on there. But her husband kind of took over their page, and he puts out weekly videos that are like 15 minutes. And they're just so good. They're also based on the word of God. And just anyways, if you need encouragement, those are two awesome resources that you can find that are just will just fill you with faith.
Amen. Yeah. And I would say if you need testimonies specifically around birth, the podcast that got me through, this was before Supernatural Childbirth Mamas podcast started. So disclaimer there, you should definitely listen to that and listen to the testimonies on this podcast. Right. But Birth in God's Presence by Kiara Blazer at A Heavenly Welcome is just like, you know, it's not putting out any new podcasts as of now, but it has like over 10 awesome testimonies on there that I just listened to on repeat because they were just, I picked the ones that I was like, I just want to keep, you know, if you're believing for a VBAC, like she's got there a story of a VBAC after 3 C-sections, right? Like if you're believing for, you know, an awesome birth after miscarriage, right? She's got a story on there that a woman, you know, had her baby after 6 miscarriages, right? And so just awesome, wow, encouraging testimonies, yeah, from moms just like us, you know? And so I found that really encouraging. And I also over on Instagram, Pain-Free Birth, she's always sharing so much gold. Like I just, the knowledge that she helps to equip you with, but also just the testimonies that she shares are absolutely awesome. Pain-Free Childbirth, I know that Nyssa has been on the podcast, but
yeah,
she is awesome. And so I absolutely encourage you to follow her if you're not already following her.
Yeah,
read her book. I had all my clients read it last year. Like, and I had a client who had like for years been believing for a pain-free birth experience. And I was like, okay, let's read this book. You know, we're on baby number 4. Like, let's see what we can do. And she was just like, she read the testimony. This was the only book that she read. This was really the only prep we did for her birth. I gave her this book, she read it. And then she was just like, okay, Lord, I'm just going to do this by faith. And she prayed, she didn't want to do anything else. Right. And this was the one piece that she did. She's like, nope, I don't want to do any of this other stuff. It's my 4th baby. I just want this to be different. And, she just prayed, smooth like butter, Lord, smooth like butter. And that child came out. And she really, she says, that's exactly what I did. I birthed by faith. And so that's what we focused on, was faith, having faith. And yeah, I share that to encourage people that like, it can be your 4th. It could be your 1st. It doesn't matter where you are in the process. Like God can do amazing things. And it's like, we just got to get the right voices, right, speaking into your life to help counteract the discouragement that the enemy throws at us.
If you're dealing with discouragement or fear right now, like I would just encourage you to just let go, like turn away from it, just be like, God, I don't want this anymore, because we don't have to live in that kind of misery. As much as sometimes the enemy will get us into a place where we almost don't notice, you know, and then all of a sudden we're like way over the other side, like dealing with fear and anxiety and worry and all that stuff. But I know that I constantly have to just give stuff over to God, and sometimes it's repeated. But I just want to encourage any mom who's struggling with that right now, just to like release that to God and just be like, God, I know you have a different way. Show me what it is. Cause it's almost unnatural sometimes to not worry. But that's how God designed us, though, is to be so dependent on Him. You know, and to always constantly be walking hand in hand with Him. So we don't have to live like that.
He doesn't want us to. The Bible says so many times, do not fear, do not fear, do not fear. And it's like the world tells us the complete opposite. Be anxious about this. Be scared about that. Did you hear the news? Like, have you been watching what's going on? You know? And it's like, but we're in this world, we're not of this world. So that gets challenging, but it doesn't mean it's not possible. It just means we got to work a little bit harder at it. But like, thank God for the fact that we're not doing this alone. Like, thank God for the fact that we have technology and we're able to connect across countries, right? And we're able to help build each other up. I mean, having this call with you has encouraged me. I don't know about you,
me too.
I don't feel the same way I did when we started talking.
I agree. I know. Even if this was just for me, I'm so thankful, because I feel I don't feel discouraged anymore. I'm like, thank you, God. You knew what I needed.
Yeah. Goodness, I couldn't agree more, Libby. I am so glad we pushed through and we still did this.
I pray
that this blesses all the listeners. Like, we just pray for you right now, Father. I just pray for your love, your grace, and your mercy to just overwhelm these women, Father, in the name of Jesus. I thank you for every single one of their lives, Lord. I don't know what season they're in and what they're going through, Father, but you do, Lord. And so we put those petitions into your hands, Father, and we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you that our faith is not in nothing, but it is in your promises. It is in who you are. And we thank you, Father, that the one that we serve is the one, the only one we call faithful and true. We thank you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord. And with that, we lift your name on high. We glorify you, Father. We just pray. Your name was glorified above all else today, Father. We just pray that you work all things out for the good of those who love you and are called according to your purpose, that they may testify of your goodness, your grace, and that many more would come to repentance through it. In Jesus' name.
Thank you so much, Leslie. You cut out for a second there at the end, so maybe it's still recorded, and I'm not sure, but it might have cut out like a good 20 seconds of your prayer, which stinks. But hopefully it didn't. But yeah, I just want to agree in prayer too. And just, Father, I just thank you for the women listening. I just speak against any discouragement. Father, I pray that you encourage them in their spirit, that you lift them up, whatever they're going through, that you surround them with people that are going to encourage them, that are going to speak life over them. And I just thank you, Father, just for this community of women that you've placed together. Just to be just a safe place for us to speak about what we're going through, God. And I thank you that you're always there with us, that you're for us, that you're not against us, and that we have victory through you in Jesus' name. And Leslie, I know that there's going to be moms who are going to want to get into contact with you. So what's the best way that they can contact you?
So you can contact me if you just go to my website, birthbyfaith.com. There is a little contact form there that comes straight to me. You can, if you follow me on Instagram already, you can contact me there, Birth by Faith Doula. But I think the website's the easiest place because it's just birthbyfaith.com. And you can contact me there. And actually, I'm going to be hosting at the end of the month a challenge to actually break fear and build faith for birth. So
awesome.
If you want to join me there, just sign up, reach out, sign up for my email list, and you'll get the latest on that.
That's awesome. And we'll all make sure that all of your information is linked when we put this podcast out. So if anybody wants that information, it'll be easy to find. We'll also link all the places that we talked about, those YouTube channels and the pain-free birth, all the people that we talked about, will also link those so that you guys can find those easy. Awesome. Thank you so much, Leslie. It was such a pleasure to talk to you. And I hope that we get to talk again. And next time we can actually stay on topic of how to get rid of fear. But this was so awesome.
Thanks so much, Libby. It has been such a pleasure. I look forward to it.
Awesome. Okay. We'll talk to you later.
All right. Thank you.